This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We've got business to attend to, Mr. Durham.
Yeah, we do. Making a few copious notes here to kind of get us going. You ready?
Yep, let's do it.
All right, these are the official Atlantic Coast Conference Awards, and it's our pleasure to present them for you. And we're going to start at the top of the chart, the one that has been the most discussed probably, what, in the last 2 weeks, you think?
Bunch of them.
Yep.
This one is going to get people stirred up.
That is the Atlantic Coast Conference Men's Basketball Player of the Year. And the winner is Alondis Williams of Wake Forest. He becomes the first Deacon since Josh Howard in 2003 to win the honor. He finished second in the league in scoring, led the league in assist at 5.26 per game, helped Wake Forest win 13 conference games. It's a 10-game turnaround from a year ago, and it's the largest year-to-year turnaround ever in the ACC for league victories. So Alondis Williams of Wake Forest is your Atlantic Coast Conference Player of the Year.
I thought it was a two-man race. The vote was relatively close, as you could expect, and here you go. Armando Baycott, 10 votes behind. Banchero got 6 votes.
Yep.
Again, Baycott out of sight. I thought the guys that finished 1-2 were 1-2.
Yep, exactly right. So, all right, next up, the Atlantic Coast Conference Rookie of the Year. And for the fourth straight time, the ACC Rookie of the Year is from Duke. And it's Seattle, Washington freshman Paolo Banchero, who finished the regular season averaging 17 points, 7.7 rebounds, helping the Blue Devils to their first regular season title since 2006. Becoming the fourth straight Blue Devil to win the honor, they tie and equal Georgia Tech's mark, the String of Pearls from 1983 to 1986, do the Blue Devils, with Banchero becoming the fourth Blue Devil in a row to win the honor. A look at the list in terms of the order here is probably the surprising part. Banchero beat Blake Wesley handily, 72-4. Terquavion Smith got one. Trevor Keels got one. You surprised?
Yeah, I thought it'd be closer.
I did too.
But, you know, it is what it is. But I think the guy that won the award should have won the award. You agree with that?
I do agree, yep. Yes. Although I thought it was, for me, this was difficult because I think Blake Wesley is the piece that has been added to Notre Dame that has changed their season. I think the other guys were all veteran pieces and healthy for the most part, sans the Leshefsky injury. And Mike Bray's done a masterful job with this, but Blake Wesley was the difference maker.
I get that, but that wasn't the question.
No,
right?
You're right.
I mean, what you said is accurate, but the question is, who's the rookie of the year? I think the guy that won it deserved to win it.
And at the end of the day, I think that's why. The defensive player of the year, for the second straight year, it is a Duke Blue Devil. Mark Williams is the defensive player of the year, averaging nearly 3 blocks a game. He led the conference, over 7 rebounds per game, a force in the middle during the course of the regular season. Williams, after Trey Jones won the award last year, he joins fellow Blue Devils Sheldon Williams, who won it twice, and DeMarcus Nelson as honorees from Duke, who have captured the Defensive Player of the Year award. So, there you go.
The list of folks that got votes here should have been on the list. Thought that Beekman had a shot.
I thought this would be a whole lot closer.
Me too. I'm with you. Leaky Black, again, everybody on this list deserved to be listed. I mean, terrific. But I thought the vote would be tighter.
Yep.
Really did.
All right. The next one is one that I also thought was a competitive piece, believe it or not. And that was the Most Improved Player of the Year. And the winner for this award is NC State's Darion Sebron, who went from averaging 5 points a game to over 17 points this season. He also finished second in the conference with 8 rebounds a game. And for Sebron, he becomes the first NC State player to win this honor, by the way. Last year's winner was Garrison Brooks of North Carolina. So congratulations to Darion Sebron. And here's the reason it was close. We're going to show you the voting Only 5 votes separate Sebron from P.J. Hall of Clemson, who, like Sebron, averaged 12 more points this year. The rebound numbers were also up. Field goal percentage up for Hall, who played more than 12 more minutes a game, but also missed half dozen games, 5 ball games toward the end of the regular season with an injury.
Sebron got off to such a great start.
Yep.
Kind of fizzled out for a little bit, but he had a spectacular year. And I think P.J. Hall's injury, as you mentioned, Wes, down the stretch, probably hurt him in this voting, but he had a terrific year as well.
Sure did. Next, sixth man of the year. And this was not close in the voting. The winner, Matthew Cleveland of Florida State, the 6'7 freshman from Atlanta, finished the year averaging over 11 points a game and almost 5 rebounds. He's the first Seminole since Fiondu Cabangeli to win the honor for Leonard Hamilton's club. And, of course, he had the great shot to win the game at Virginia, but Matthew Cleveland had a terrific rookie season for the Seminoles.
Thought it was a no-brainer.
Yep.
Total no-brainer. And the voting looks that way.
Yep. L. Ellis of Louisville, second. Anthony Walker, Hadeem C. of Wake Forest, Caden Shedrick, Quentin Post, and Cam Hayes on the list as well in the votes for the sixth man.
Not surprised.
Nope. All right. Coach of the Year. Now, this one's been beat around the bush once or twice, hasn't it?
It's a good one.
The winner of Coach of the Year is Steve Forbes of Wake Forest. The 13 conference wins and 16 home wins by the Deacons, both tie program records, the 10-win conference game turnaround from a year ago, the largest year-to-year turnaround in the ACC for league victories. He becomes the first Wake Forest head coach since the late Skip Prosser in 2003. So as they did 19 years ago, Wake Forest sweeps Player and Coach of the Year again. Howard and Prosser in 03, Williams and Forbes in 22.
I mentioned this last week. When Wake Forest took care of business and won their last ACC regular season game, the improvement of plus 10 from a year ago in ACC wins has never been done before. And I think when you do that kind of stuff, it to me is like the ultimate tiebreaker. I mean, there were a lot of guys you could put on this list to break it down. But when you do something that's never been done before in this league, you should get some love for it. And Steve Forbes gets it, and it's certainly well-deserved.
Well, I tell you this, the Coach of the Year voting, folks, here we go. Forbes at 40, Mike Krzyzewski 19, Mike Bray 13, Jim Larranega 3, Mike Young, Hubert Davis, Tony Bennett 1 each.
The thing that surprises me the most on that list is Jim Larranega with only 3 votes.
Right.
I mean, come on now, what are we doing? I mean, Jim Larranega, last time I checked, they got you won't see them for a couple days in Brooklyn. You know why? They got a double bye.
Right.
They were picked, what, 12th, 13th, whatever mm-hmm. It was one of those two. Wake was the other.
Right.
To only get 3 votes, I thought Jim Larranega would have got more love.
So did I. But Steve Forbes is the winner, and congratulations on the Coach of the Year honors and these other individual awards to the honorees in men's basketball from the Atlantic Coast Conference. Okay, now the all-conference rundown. We said last week there were probably 3 locks to this, correct? Mm-hmm. Baycott, Williams, and Banchero. The other 2 spots were going to get really interesting, we thought, right? And I think there were a myriad of players that could have been first team. But here is the first team. Now, notice at the bottom, 5-3-1 system. 5 for first team, 3 for second team, 1 for third team. Look at the difference in Armando Baycott and Alondis Williams and Paolo Banchero.
And I know North Carolina fans are screaming right now going, excuse me, Baycott got more votes, but Williams is the player of the year. How does this work? I hear you. Unless I can hear you screaming at the television, screaming
right.
at your radio with that.
Correct. But it's also, that's why the system is at the bottom to show you. So obviously there was maybe some that weren't unanimous. Alondis Williams, 7 behind Baycott, Paolo Banchero, 8. Cam McGusty of Miami and Buddy Boeheim of Syracuse complete the first team. Look at the vote differential between McGusty and Boeheim. So it ended up being the 5th spot that was maybe the most volatile pack.
I don't have a problem with the list.
Right.
I don't.
So you go from there to the second team. All-ACC. Keve Aluma of Virginia Tech headlines this list. Darion Sebron of NC State, Wendell Moore of Duke, Blake Wesley of Notre Dame, and Jake LaRavia of Wake Forest. You see the differential there in the numbers. Okay, that's a look at the second team, and so far I've seen two Deacons and two Blue Devils, right? Third team, all ACC. And the third team has Dane Goodwin of Notre Dame, who some talked about for first team, Mark Williams of Duke, Isaiah Wong of Miami, Jaden Gardner of Virginia, and Michael DeVoe of Georgia Tech on the list. So those are your all ACC teams that are voted 1 through 3. Okay? Now.
So Wes, of the first, second, and third teams, we have no players from Florida State, Clemson, Louisville, Pitt, or BC.
That is correct.
10 other schools represented.
Yep.
It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. That's the third team all ACC. All right. Now, all ACC defensive team. The defensive player of the year, Mark Williams, is the headliner there. Reese Beekman follows him. Leaky Black is third on that list, with Charlie Moore and Wendell Moore Jr. of Duke making the top five for all ACC defensive team. There is no surprise to me on that list at all.
Nope, agreed, 100%.
I think the top three guys, and Moore led the league in steals, Charlie Moore that is, Leaky Black, Reese Beekman, Mark Williams were the three names I heard the most in discussions on and offline, if you will, about an all-ACC defensive team and player of the year. All right, the all-rookie team is next, and that's headlined by Paolo Banchero. Terquavion Smith of NC State is next. Blake Wesley of Notre Dame finished third in this voting, with A.J. Griffin and Trevor Keels following. Probably the biggest story here is the close nature of the Banchero, Smith, and Wesley. That seemed like three locks, and then a little bit more volatility behind Griffin and Keels.
Yeah, I think for the most part, this is pretty accurate stuff. Got to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. So the five there make up the All-ACC rookie team, and of course, Banchero is the rookie of the year. All right, so there it is. Gnashing of teeth commences, perhaps.
Looks like we're going to do a lot of interviews from Switzerland here for the next half an hour.
Yeah, we're going to load it up here in just a second, because when we come back, this is the Atlantic Coast Conference's first transfer to win Player of the Year, by the way. Kind of doing some quick research on this, and Alondis Williams will join us next to talk about what has to be regarded as a pretty special year in Winston-Salem. He's the first of two to visit from the Twin Cities next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. All right, we got guests coming our way.
Can I do some clarity here real quick? The list I was referring to did not include 21. So Florida State has now won four consecutive Sixth Man of the Year awards. I made the mistake. That's on me. Cleveland in 22, Scotty Barnes 21, Patrick Williams 20, Fiondu Cabangeli 19. Okay, that's the first there. Matthew Hurt was most improved last year. I forgot about that, but that doesn't affect the selection we announced to you a moment ago with Darion Sebron. But I wanted to make sure I got the clarity on Florida State there for you.
You got it.
Six man.
There's a test afterwards. Now yeah. You can't screw it up.
Well, the list I was looking at didn't have the 21 at the bottom, so that's where I made the mistake.
It's okay.
All right.
We all screw up.
So, coming up in a moment, Alondis Williams, the ACC Player of the Year, will join us. And we got a few other things we're going to handle, including the Coach of the Year at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, I got a note from Mr. Forbes earlier today.
Yeah, he's dropping notes to us.
He's watching, man.
Yeah, he is. He always
got to be on your top of your game with Forbes.
David Teal has chimed in here, our friend, who we hope to have on the show potentially later this week, covers the ACC. This is the first academic year since 2004-05 in which the ACC men's and women's coaches of the year from the same school Dave Clawson, Steve Forbes, Frank Beamer, and Seth on Hoops.
How about that? That is what I call a bar bet.
How about that, right? All right.
And just one of those guys on that list right there owes me a steak.
Yeah.
Only one.
And it's not Clawson.
Nope.
And it's not Beamer.
Nope.
And we know it's not Forbes.
That's right.
Well, our luck is Alondis Williams is going to join us right now from Winston-Salem. Ladies and gentlemen, how about this? We get to say the Atlantic Coast Conference Player of the Year is Alondis Williams. How's that sound?
It sounds wonderful. I ain't gonna lie. Like, I always dreamed about, you know, this as a little kid. You know, definitely playing in the ACC now. You know, being Player of the Year.
Alondis, you come from Oklahoma. When this guy Forbes said, "Hey, listen, you'd be a good fit for us here in Winston-Salem." I know you've always had confidence in your game, but in your wildest dreams, did you think it'd be as good as it's turned out to be?
It turned out good, but, you know, we still got things that we still got to finish, you know. We got the ACC tournament coming up. We're trying to do good in that. And then, you know, we got the NCAA tournament. You know, we're trying to do good in that. So far, you know, we're doing good and the plan thought what we wanted to be, but we still striving. We're still going.
All right. If I were to ask you why this happened, what was it about you and certainly Jake and Dallas in particular, guys coming in from other places, why did this click, Alondis? And especially for you, why did it click?
I just feel like we all came here with a mindset of like we want to win and, you know, prove people how good we are as players. And, you know, we all just connected right away when we all came here in the summertime. Like, you know, it's a lot of players out there that, you know, sometimes be thinking like it's their last year and they got the feeling like, you know, they got to take all the shots. They got to be the man. And nobody on this team felt like that. Like, we all care about each other a lot. And us connecting and bonding like that so fast, apparently it did good because that's what we're doing now. You know, we look good out there together. Definitely me and Jake, you know, we got the headband little thing going on. Jake, Dallas been hitting the three, looking like Klay Thompson out there. So it's been great.
Alondis, I know that you guys had the weekend off because you finished up your regular season during the week. Are you going to call Buddy Boeheim and say, "Dude, come on, man. You can't go for 30 on that last game and take that scoring title away from me"? I mean, yeah, I don't know if you're going to run into him in Brooklyn or not since you guys have a double bye situation or sitting there waiting to get in that double bye, wishing you had. But, man, you got to sit back with Buddy Boeheim a little bit and go, "Come on, man. You can't go for 30 on the last game and nick me by a single stinking point."
I was kind of sick about that. I was sitting in my room. I was doing some homework and stuff like that, and I was just watching the game off my phone with a box score. And I had seen him with, like, I had forgot they played at 1 o'clock, so I had to hurry up and put it on. And then I had seen he had, like, 23, 26. I said, "Come on, buddy, don't do it to me." And then, you know, he did it. So, but congrats on him. I mean, for him.
Yeah, he's and you know what? It was fun for everybody in the ACC to have something like that in play. It's been a long time, quite frankly, since something like that was on the table. Alondis, I want to ask you about Coach Forbes because you're obviously an integral part of what's happened in this success. A 10-win improvement in conference play. You guys have been phenomenal in your building. What is it? What was the trick, the magic with Steve Forbes? I mean, I've talked about his junior college experience and understanding putting rosters together so the grad transfer and the portal might work a little better, and he has a better understanding, cleaner understanding. But obviously, it's a situation where you guys came in, and as you mentioned earlier, everything you wanted to win. That's the common bond here I'm getting.
I just feel like, you know, he know how to talk to players, you know, like he know how to bond with them, You know, a lot of coaches in these kind of Power Five conferences, you know, they kind of be serious a lot and, you know, really ain't a player type coach, and that's what he is. He's a player type coach, and a lot of players be wanting a player type coach. And I feel like him being that type of coach and knowing what he want on his team and things like that, he do a great job at that. And apparently you see that he did a great job like that with his team, and that's what we've been doing is.
Alondis, you know, I was just kidding you about the scoring title with Buddy, but, you know, you led the league in assists. And the one thing that I've really enjoyed about your game is the way you pass the basketball. And you can pass with both the right and the left, which is, again, I'm talking about the elite players in college basketball, you got to be able to go both hands. I know you take a great deal of pride in the pass. I know everyone wants to talk about scoring and all that kind of stuff. You want to win games. But your ability to pass the basketball, dude, you can flat out get it done.
Yeah, I always liked to pass the ball. Like ever since I was a little kid, you know, I always wanted to. I always watched LeBron. You know, always been a pass first type of player because I know I can score whenever I want. To be honest, and I was just like always like, man, I'm gonna pass the ball. You know, to make the game kind of easier for me. You know, open up gaps for me. Make it so I can make the other team feel like I ain't, you know, I don't want to score. So open it up for me by passing. And, you know, I be watching a lot of Chris Paul, all that, Magic Johnson.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. Now, you're going back into my era with Magic. Magic Man can do some stuff now. And again, Chris Paul, you get a little Wake Forest reference there, which I respect. But, you know, there were a lot of games this year when we'd watch you that, you know, we'd get to the second or third television timeout in the first half, and you'd have 2 points, 4 points, whatever. And then next thing you know, midway through the second half, there's Alondis Williams with 19. And you know, you're right. I mean, you have the ability to let the game come to you. And if you, like you said, if you can open it up and get everybody else involved, man, it just makes life easy for you in that second half. You eat, man. You can play.
Yeah.
All right, here's the last question. Tell us about the name Man Man.
Which I want to know about it, you know.
Well, I mean, how did you get to be called? Where did the name originate? Where did the nickname originate? Because Steve Forbes uses Alondis once in a while. He says Man Man more than he says Alondis.
Like I said before, like, I got my nickname from my mom, you know, since I was a little kid. You know, everybody, like, in the Midwest, would be called Man Man. It's either, like, was bad as a little kid, you know, jumping around, flipping all the time. What else? Be doing backflips and different other things like that. So, like, she always used to call me Man Man. And then she used to always call me her little man when I was a little kid. And then I got older, so it just went on after that, and then a lot of people just heard people calling me Man Man, so it just went on after that. And I ain't gonna lie, a lot of people actually know Man Man more than they know my real name. A lot of people don't know my real name, and it's crazy.
All right, let me ask you one more question. I'm assuming you watched the Duke North Carolina game Saturday night. Is that a safe assumption? Did you watch the game?
Which guy?
Duke, North Carolina.
Oh,
yeah, I watched a little bit of it.
Okay. Baycott goes off, right? North Carolina wins the big game. Did you think you were going to win this award going to bed Saturday night?
To be honest, he did good. I ain't gonna lie. I was telling my teammates, like, oh, he might got it with that performance right there. I ain't gonna lie. But it is what it is now, but.
You got the belt, man.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
All right. Alondis Williams of Wake Forest, the ACC Player of the Year. Take care. We'll see you in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, Demon Deacon head coach Steve Forbes.
Man, man.
Yep. Man, man's the Player of the Year. When we come back, 2 years ago, Steve Forbes was the Southern Conference Coach of the Year. at East Tennessee State. When we return, he's the ACC's Coach of the Year, and it's next.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
That music can only mean one coach in this league.
That's right.
And that is your ACC Men's Coach of the Year. Walk-up music.
That's it. Steve Forbes is the Atlantic Coast Conference Player of the Year, Wake Forest winning player and coach of the year for the first time together. Ironically, 19 years. Skip Prosser, Josh Howard took the honors, and Coach Forbes joins us from Winston-Salem. First of all, congratulations. A remarkable regular season, and I know that's the first thing you're going to tell me because you still got postseason left to go. And I remember you gauged it one time as, you know, having a really good season is one thing, and you get to a certain number, it becomes a great thing. So I know there's always that focus for you. What's the first person? Who's the first person you thought of when you heard you were Coach of the Year?
Well, my dad, you know, and I know today's the day your dad passed away.
Yeah.
And my dad passed away 3 years ago, March 20th. And I can promise you that if your dad doesn't know my dad, he does today, because my dad is the proudest person in heaven. It's going to make me cry, man. You know, just to come from, you know, gravel road to tobacco road.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I miss my dad.
Yeah, no, I understand. And I thought of the guy that used to drive to Iowa City to watch practices. That's the guy I thought of. That would, I mean, you first told me about driving to Iowa City to watch Iowa practice long before all the junior colleges and the stops along the way to now be, you know, the ACC Coach of the Year. That's what I thought of last night when I heard this, to be honest, Steve.
Yeah, you know, that's true. I was laughing at Pack this morning. He was talking about a restricted viewing seat. I used to have restricted viewing seats in the Iowa Fieldhouse watching the Iowa Hawkeyes play when Lute Olson was the head coach and Ronnie Lester was running up and down the court. And I had those seats where you had to kind of peek around the pole to watch the game, you know. And, yeah, you know, I wouldn't be a coach if it wasn't for where I grew up in Lone Tree, Iowa, and going to, you know, the University of Iowa and watching Lute Olson not only, you know, coach games but run practice. I used to sit up high in the stands. And so, you know, the historical perspective of this is not lost on me. You go all the way back to, you know, the great Everett Case, who actually, you know, coached in the SoCon long before I did, to Dean Smith, to Coach K, to, you know, Terry Holland, to Coach V, Jimmy V, you know, Vic Bubas, my friend Soupy Campbell was his assistant. You know, I'm on a list. I'm definitely not in that category, but I'm humbled to be on the list. You know, Murray Greason was the first coach of Wake Forest history to be the ACC Coach of the Year. And then, you know, Bones McKinney won it twice. Dave Odom won it three times. And then the great late Skip Prosser. So it's just a humbling experience to be listed on, to be a part of that list.
Coach, I know that all coaches deflect to their players. We just talked to Alondis Williams, who won Player of the Year. What does that mean to you in terms of watching Alondis, the way he's developed and taking his game to another level, and what it meant to your team?
I mean, Marcus is an incredible story. You know, he's the first transfer, I believe, in the history of this historical league to be named the Player of the Year, and so much deserved, especially to win it over such a great player as Armando Bacot, who I have a ton of respect for, and he deserved all the notoriety that he received. You know, Alondis has an infectious attitude. He's very competitive, but he's very a person that everybody enjoys being around. You know, it just was the perfect storm. You know, he needed us, I needed him, and we needed each other. You know, and it just all came together, and you know, we'll be able to look back on this later and be really proud of what we've accomplished. As you said, we're not done yet. And, you know, one of the things I challenge my players every year and my team is to go hang your own banner. And when you hang your own banner, then you can come back with pride 10, 20, 15, 30 years from now and see that banner. And so you know, that's where we're at right now. We're trying to do that. And Alanis has just created a memory for himself and for his teammates that we'll never forget.
I was going to ask you the importance of Alondis, Jake, and Dallas in particular, and I'll throw Hadeem C. in there because I think he's really giving you some premium play off the bench here, especially in the last 25% of conference play, and if not all the last half of the season for sure. Why did it work? How did you know it would work? Those four in particular plugged into a lineup of guys that, I mean, you had Isaiah Musius, you had some Carter Witt. I mean, you had some pieces there, but you knew you needed specifics, I guess.
Yeah, those guys have tremendous character. They're really good people on and off the court. They're team players. They all came from places where they had, you know, won. You know, Jake was a guy that had a chip on his shoulder. He had something to prove. We had something to prove this year, so that worked. You know, Dallas is the old soul on the team. He's the guy that keeps it all together. You know, and Hadeem is like having a sixth starter. You know, he's a tremendous player, a great defender. He allows us to play a lot bigger. We could play Jake at the three and Isaiah Musius at the two and Alondis at the one and Hadeem at the four and Dallas at the five. So it gives us versatility. But really, truthfully, it just comes down to not only are they really good players, but they're just even better people. And they have great chemistry. They truly care about each other. They don't care about stats. If Alondis, you know, hadn't won the player of the year, it wouldn't have mattered to him. I know that. I know he doesn't play for that. None of them do. You know, and so they want to win. And Davian's like that as well. You know, Davian had great numbers this year. He had all league level numbers. We just happened to play in the ACC, you know, and he could have stayed at, you know, East Tennessee State and been the SoCon player of the year. You know, but he chose to come here and help turn around his, you know, his hometown school, Wake Forest University, and put him back on the map. And I'm proud of him for that as well.
Coach, let's fast forward the clock. I know that you're in the battle to get that double bye. Didn't quite work out, but you're the five seed. You get the winner of BC and Pitt. What's the schedule like this week? And I know you don't, and hey, whoever shows up, that's who you're going to go play. But what's the schedule like the rest of the week now as we get rolling into Brooklyn?
You know, guys, we had a little break. I think we probably needed it. We're a little beat up. You know, we didn't play on Saturday. We played Wednesday. So we took Thursday off. We went light on Friday. We took Saturday off. You know, we went pretty good yesterday. Last night, we didn't have any contact, but we went up and down really hard. You know, we'll practice today at 10 a.m., and then we're going to fly to Brooklyn late this afternoon. We'll get up there tomorrow. And we'll have a shoot around at the Barclays, and then we'll go practice off-site and then get ready to play on Wednesday against either BC or Pitt. You know, I had some experience, obviously, doing this, being a head coach at East Tennessee State. I believe this time is just to go back to the basics. And you work on everything that you're going to see in the next, you know, in the ACC tournament and beyond. We'll figure out who we're playing, you know, tomorrow night or whenever that game is played, and then we'll get to a little bit more personnel. But today is going to be more about just back to the basics and working on the things that we need to work on to continue to make this team better.
Steve, I want to ask you two things. One, Davian Williamson is a guy who, boy, he had a phenomenal night against NC State, and he really had, like Hadeem, in a different way, he started to lift his scoring numbers for you late too. What do you see in him as it relates to this push in postseason?
Just a lot of confidence. You know, he's playing with tremendous confidence, and I have to give that to him. And sometimes that's my fault. You know, I ride Davian pretty hard. I tease him and Isaiah Musius all the time. When I'm mad at Alondis or I'm mad at Hadeem, I just yell at them. You know, and so, I mean, I've got to give him confidence because when he plays with tremendous confidence, he's one of the better guards in our league. And we need that. You know, we need that extra punch from him. You know, he can really, really make shots. You know, he doesn't need the ball in his hands a lot. In fact, I don't think he really wants it in his hands as much as he would prefer to have it in the hands of, you know, Alondis or Jake. So, you know, his emergence late is huge. Same with Damari, you know, Monsanto. We need him to make shots. I thought he made two big threes in the second half early against NC State, kind of broke the game open, you know, and he did it against Carolina. He went on his own personal 9-0 run. to blow the game open in the second half. You know, he made three straight threes in a row, three straight possessions. And, you know, we could get that kind of firepower. We got a chance to do some, you know, a chance to win, you know, the ACC tournament.
All right, I was going to ask you. I know you're a junkie. You watch everything, right? I mean, you're like me and Packer. You'll watch six games in a night. You may not see them all start to finish, but you'll sample them. I mean, you like watching ball as much as we do. So you sit back on a weekend off. You watch this league unfold, I'm sure. What did you learn Saturday that maybe you hadn't learned through the course of the regular season competing against these teams?
Well, there's also another portion of my job called recruiting, and good players make good coaches, Wes.
Yeah.
And so I was in Minneapolis on Friday and lovely Denver on Saturday. So I didn't watch any games. I followed the scores, you know, as closely as I could. So I can't honestly tell you that I learned anything because I was eating popcorn. I always sample the popcorn at every place I go just to make sure it's quality. I have to say the popcorn in Denver was better than the pop. No, yeah, the popcorn in Denver. No, the popcorn in Minneapolis was better than the popcorn in Denver. And so that's probably what I learned the most over the weekend.
We need to get you and Young in a popcorn.
Apparently.
Because, you know, Coach Young's kind of mastered that popcorn thing. It sounds like you're in that neighborhood.
No, he's popping like Orville Redenbacher, according to that John Rothstein guy. So I'm not ever going to approach that. I've seen Young spill his popcorn at a game, though, when I was at East Tennessee State. And I think we had to go up and get him a whole new barrel. He doesn't eat like a bag. He eats a barrel of popcorn, you know, before the game. So I can't do that because my stomach is a mess. And so I'm very jealous of him on that respect. And, hey, listen, how about the old Southern Conference? I'm pretty sure the old Southern Conference former coaches won back-to-back Coach of the Year in the ACC. I'm always very proud of Mike Young. He's obviously a great coach and a good friend, but glad, too, for us to be able to represent a league that a lot of the ACC was in. You know, and I didn't realize that until I went to watch Davy and play in the ACC or in the state tournament his senior year over at NC State when he won it and was the MVP. And that night I went down to Chapel Hill to watch one of the state championship games, and I saw a SoCon championship banner up there in the Dean Dome. It said, I think, 1919. I took a picture of it, and I tweeted it out. I said, thank God these guys aren't in the SoCon anymore. We wouldn't have much of a chance. You know, but, you know, so congrats to the Southern Conference former coaches, too, that have gone here, come here and done very well. Everett Case, you know, he's got a lot of records in that league. They'll never be touched, I can promise you, because we had a heck of a run. You know, I think we're like number two behind him in, you know, winning percentage, but that guy won a ton of games.
Coach, when we now get into conference play this week, and obviously March Madness thereafter, do you sense a difference in terms of pressure, vibe, your team? Maybe it's your own, you know, your own mojo. I mean, you tell me, you've been down this road before. But
yeah.
Does it feel different now, or is it just, hey, you got to take every day just like it was a regular season game, whether we're playing at Georgia Tech on a Tuesday night? You tell me.
No. It's one and done now, you know, and it's March Madness or it can be March Sadness. Now, I will tell you this. I came to this league hoping that I could be in the NCAA tournament before I ever went to the conference tournament. Does that make sense? Like most places I've ever been at this level. You know, and winning 13 league games, you would think that we would already be in, but I don't feel that way. And so that pressure is there. I felt that pressure obviously, for 5 years at East Tennessee State, because no matter how many wins we had, it didn't matter. And so I've you know, conveyed that to our team. I did yesterday. I will continue to do it. I'm not trying to put undue pressure on them, but I also think that they need to know where we stand. You got to tell them the truth. And so, I think they'll feel that, but I also think they'll play with an edge, a little bit air of desperation, which is really good. I thought we had it against Louisville. I thought we had it against NC State. You know, I thought we played, but we averaged 100 points a game in those last two games. And so we came out and really played with an edge, and I would expect that we'll do that on Wednesday, no matter who we play.
all right, the concept being here in tournament play, I often hear talk about, you know, coaches say we gotta get stops. It's about how you guard. Am I hearing you say it's about how you score?
Well, the team with the most points wins.
That's correct.
I don't know if you realize that, Wes. You went to Elon. I know it's tough.
Hey, whoa. Easy
We're not going to win. Hey, Wes, we're not going to win 2-0. We're not going to win 2-0. So, yeah, you know, they all go hand in hand, my man. Defense and rebounding win championships, no question. But, hey, man, if you can put that thing in a hole, it's a lot easier. And, you know, that's probably the biggest thing, fellas, if you look back from last year, and I like to consider this to be my first year considering what we went through. You know, I think we're about plus 15 in the league play now. I just look at league numbers now. I think we're plus 15 in scoring or more than what we were a year ago. You know, I think we averaged 61 points a game or something like that last year. I don't know if we're around 77, 78. I'm bad at math. And so I think the scoring has really made us a better team. We're a lot better offensively and defensively. But I like to be able to put the ball in the basket.
Coach, there's nothing I can add after that last comment, so I'm just going to leave it right like that, other than congratulations, well-deserved. I know that Wake Forest fans have had an amazing run this year from a sports calendar standpoint, whether we're talking about the men's football program, golf program, what you guys have been doing. I mean, John Curry's put together an amazing array of talent when it comes to coaches and what you guys have done, so congratulations.
Well, I appreciate it. I got a couple things to add to that. You know, since I think it was 2004 when Coach Beamer and the King Chrome Dome, the head of the ball men on campus, Seth Greenberg, won that together as football basketball coaches. So for Coach Clausen and I to win it in the same year to be mentioned with King Chrome Dome and Frank Beamer, that's a heck of an honor. And the last thing is kind of towards you, Pac. I know I'm a history guy. I watch the news. I'm pretty sure you're aware that the Swiss have put some economic sanctions on Russia in this conflict in the Ukraine. So we're changing that neutrality act there a little bit. You might have to pay. You might have to come up with a new name.
Well, I said earlier, the way you guys are winning, you know what? You're pushing the envelope to lose that Swiss title. I'm telling you, and that's maybe not a bad thing.
Well, if you know, the last thing is, I'm, you know, how many more times do I have to be on until I get the coffee cup? I'd like to know.
I'll tell you. I know the answer to that question. This is your seventh appearance on the show. You are three away from joining the 10 Mug Club. Three away.
So I'm going to have to shamelessly ask Lucy here to put me back on the show a few more times
I get it. Hey, this is like the one and done thing you just preached to me. You keep winning. That gets done. All the accolades follow. You just keep winning. That's how it works.
Well, hey, winning takes care of a lot of issues. It's the best thing out there. So I appreciate you guys having me on. It's been a great morning for our program, and we're going to continue to represent the ACC.
I want to share one thing with you, and I don't know.
You better hurry. He's got practice.
Well, it's what I was getting ready to say. I don't know how this works with Shea Savage and my man B.J. Mackey, but – does a head coach have to run sprints if you're late to practice? Because, my man, you are on the way to being late to practice.
Oh, those guys, that's like clockwork. Those guys can handle it. And I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, the Coach of the Year Award, Wes, is not an individual award. It's a staff award, a team award, a program award. I don't win it by myself by no means. And, you know, I have an unbelievable staff, people I have lots of history with. With, you know, Brooke Savage, who's been with me probably 12 years, and B.J. Mackey and Jason Shea, who's been with me, you know, probably 12, 13 years, Matt Woodley, Frank Davis, Joe Hughley, and Tynus Kavalauskas. My son Christopher is the video coordinator. You know, Isaiah Tisdale played for me as a GA, and Mark Armour, who's our trainer, and the great Mike Starkey, who's our strength coach. Those people, they deserve all the credit. You know, I'm just the one that stands up. You know, and on game day. And so those guys are unbelievable and deserve all the credit.
Be sure to give a shout out to that marketing department, too, up here in Winston-Salem.
Yeah, those guys. Take care of them for us, Forbes.
I'm going to do it. Connor and those guys, Red Hobart, as long as I don't have to get back on that motorcycle for a while, I'll be good.
Be well. Congratulations.
All right, guys. Thanks.
You bet. Steve Forbes, ACC Coach of the Year for Wake Forest. The list, by the way, is really kind of remarkable when it comes to this category. We mentioned Beamer and Greenberg, right? Mm-hmm. Ralph Reage and Gary Williams, 01-02. George O'Leary, Paul Hewitt, 2000-2001. Lou Holtz, Norm Sloan, 1972-73. And Paul Amon, Bones McKinney, 59-60. Everett Case and Earl Edwards, 57-58 at NC State.
Pretty good list.
Yes. Don't forget, our coverage of the Atlantic Coast Conference basketball tournament begins tomorrow. First round action from Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Starts at 2 o'clock right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. Nothing but net. All day coverage, first round. Kelsey will be there with Booz and Luke and Joel Berry. Everybody streaming in, guest as well. Look forward to their coverage. We'll be there Friday morning with Packer and Durham. Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, final quick, and I do mean quick, segment of a show 579. Congratulations to all the ACC players that received awards and coaches on top of that.
69th New York Life ACC Tournament starts tomorrow on this very channel, 2 o'clock. Anish Shroff, Jordan Cornette, courtside at Barclays Center for BC and Pitt. And they'll also have coverage of NC State and Clemson. Then tomorrow night, Georgia Tech Louisville with Dave O'Brien and Corey Alexander on the call for that. Everything tomorrow starting at 2 is on ACC Network. You know, nothing but net as well. Full coverage from Brooklyn, Mr. Packer.
Looking forward to being up there on Friday morning. Mm-hmm. We'll see how this thing plays out. It's always a special time of the year, whether it be the ACC tournament, of course, Selection Sunday, 6 days away.
Right.
And let the madness begin. It kind of feels like we've kind of had a dose of that here the last couple of weeks. It's a perfect appetizer.
Congratulations to everybody who won ACC awards. Alondis Williams, Steve Forbes for joining us. Drew, Josh, Chrissy, great job. Tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., Packer and Durham. See you then.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.